This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Protocol for Life Balance product line at my online dispensary. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional-grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research. Among them, three stand out, which help maintain your healthy blood sugar: glucose management with berberine, glucose balance, and chromate. These botanical supplements can play an important role in proper insulin function, normal energy production, promotion of healthy body weight, and maintenance of healthy blood sugar levels that are already within the normal range. Their ingredients are backed up by solid scientific data. They're only available from healthcare practitioners, but they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. Thank you for subscribing to these podcasts, and thank you for subscribing to the Intelligent Medicine newsletter. If you don't already, you can at drhoffman.com. It's free. You can unsubscribe at any time as well. We don't use your email for any other reason. If you'd like to make an appointment with me, please call the office. You'll speak to Grimaldi. She'll take care of you. 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. Did you know that severe hypoglycemia indicates cardiovascular and cognitive danger? You've heard me talk a lot over the years about unstable blood sugar, low blood sugar, which is hypoglycemia. We're talking about very low blood sugar, that's severe hypoglycemia, can be dangerous for your heart and for your brain. Severe hypoglycemic events can present cardiovascular and cognitive risks, and hypoglycemia should signal a call to action for physicians treating patients with diabetes. And this was from a speaker at the Heart in Diabetes conference. Okay, so anybody treating anyone with diabetes, not just physicians, but any practitioner, nutritionists, nurse practitioners, registered dietitians, all of us, we need to be aware about not just hypoglycemia, but severe hypoglycemia, because severe hypoglycemia is uncommon. All right, let me clarify a little bit. Where would you really see severe hypoglycemia? Well, you would see it in a diabetic who is taking insulin. The danger of taking insulin is taking too much, and then the blood sugar goes too low. That severe hypoglycemia can then be a medical emergency. Very low blood sugar like that can cause you to faint, can cause insulin shock in those taking insulin, may cause seizure if it's incredibly low. These are rare, rare cases I'm talking about. But for the person with diabetes who is taking insulin, self-administering insulin, they probably know better than anybody what severe hypoglycemia can feel like. And that's why they have to very tightly control their eating, their blood sugar, their insulin administration. It's a fine dance, and it takes some time to learn. So severe hypoglycemia is uncommon, but incredibly important. And this is from a professor of epidemiology and medicine at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. And this is Elizabeth Selvin, PhD, is a lead investigator for the Atherosclerosis Risk in Communities, also called the ARIC study, A-R-I-C, Atherosclerosis Risk in Communities study, the ARIC study. An acute episode of hypoglycemia can be a medical emergency, but there is much more controversy about the long-term consequences of episodes of severe hypoglycemia. Using data from the fourth follow-up visit of the ARIC study, Atherosclerosis Risk and Community Study, which began with 15,792 participants aged 45 to 64 years old in 1987. Dr. Selvin and colleagues identified 195 cases of severe hypoglycemia. The mean age was 65 years old, and 58% were women. Among the 1,209 participants with diabetes who completed a follow-up visit between 1996 and 1998. So, of the 1,200 participants who completed follow-up, they identified 195 cases of severe hypoglycemia, 58% of which were women at the average age of 65 years old. According to Selvin, participants with a severe hypoglycemic event had more substantial rates of cardiovascular disease, coronary heart disease, heart failure, atrial fibrillation, peripheral artery disease, and all-cause mortality. In fact, Selvin said that in the 3 years following an episode of severe hypoglycemia, 30% of those who experienced such an event died. Selvin and her colleagues found significant increases in risks for all-cause mortality, cardiovascular mortality, and coronary heart disease among those who experienced severe hypoglycemia at least once versus those who did not. Selvin said this risk was especially high in the 12 months following a severe hypoglycemic event. Wow. So it reverberates even after that episode of severe low blood sugar. It reverberates. Meanwhile, the risk for heart failure, atrial fibrillation, and peripheral artery disease remained numerically higher for those with severe hypoglycemia, but did not reach statistical significance in these particular models. This study is actually a call to action for physicians and practitioners who treat patients with diabetes. And most of us as practitioners are treating people with diabetes. So regardless of whether these associations are causal, severe hypoglycemia is a potent marker of future short-term mortality and cardiovascular risk, Selvin told Endocrine Today. More work needs to be done to understand the mechanisms. So let's talk about biomarker associations here. Selvin and colleagues also assessed cardiac troponin T, a biomarker for myocardial damage. Troponin is what they look for as a biomarker for heart damage in suspected myocardial infarction, aka heart attack. They look for these particular biomarkers. So they assessed cardiotroponin T as it relates to diabetes in a cohort of 2,148 participants in the ARIC study who had visits from 2011 to 2013. Among these, 72 had an event of severe hypoglycemia. The mean age, 78 years old, and 61% of them were women. And 2,076 did not Their mean age was 76 years old, and 57% were women. So, Selvin noted that roughly 50% of those who had experienced severe hypoglycemia in the past had high rates of the biomarker compared with 18% of those who did not have a severe hypoglycemia event. The researchers found that this discrepancy largely remained even when separating the group into those with no history of cardiac heart disease and heart failure and those with a history of these complications. However, these were crude prevalence rates, and although it was more likely that someone with severe hypoglycemia would have high cardiac troponin T versus someone without hypoglycemia when adjusting for age, sex, and race, only the significance did not hold when the researchers included hemoglobin A1C levels, diabetes duration, and estimated glomerular filtration rate among the adjustments, were underpowered to detect an independent association with heart damage, myocardial damage. So future studies would be great to further investigate this issue. They absolutely would. So, very interesting study. Selvin also provided insights into the effects on cognitive function of severe hypoglycemia. Now, let me just digress a moment. Any of you who decided to skip your lunch or your breakfast or your dinner, or you just didn't have time, and you found yourself to be quite hungry and now suffering with low blood sugar, may find yourself unable to concentrate, recall something, have any kind of good productive thinking at all, maybe even have trouble finishing a sentence. That's a function of low blood sugar. It's time to eat. So these researchers also provided insights into the effects on cognitive function of severe hypoglycemia. Among the cohort of participants who made visits between 2011 and 2013, those who experienced severe hypoglycemia were 1.5 times more likely to have mild cognitive impairment and 2.3 times more likely to have dementia as those who did not have severe hypoglycemia. In addition, dementia was 2.5 times more likely to develop among participants in the visits from 1996 to 1998 who had severe hypoglycemia versus those who did not. So severe hypoglycemia can have some far-reaching consequences on cognitive health. The mechanisms are, as of yet, unclear. It is possible that hypoglycemia contributes directly to the pathophysiology of these outcomes, but it is also possible that hypoglycemia is simply a marker of risk. Now, I want to digress here. It's not a real digression. I just want to weigh in on what they're saying here, that it is possible that hypoglycemia contributes directly to the pathophysiology of these outcomes. As I trip over my own tongue, maybe I should eat something. Now, I'll tell you, with hypoglycemia like that, what happens is because you didn't do a good job of having your meal on time and getting your blood sugar levels back to normal, what happens is your adrenal glands are called into to act. The good soldiers that they are, they will secrete some cortisol, a stress hormone. That cortisol will succinctly bring your blood sugars back to normal, but that cortisol has some side effects. It is a stress hormone. It, over time, with repeated bouts of hypoglycemia and the subsequent secretion of cortisol by the adrenal glands will cause the hippocampus, the part of the brain responsible for memory, all of that cortisol circulating chronically in your system, or not even chronically, but frequently enough to have consequences. What happens over time is that cortisol causes the hippocampus to shrink. And that's when we don't remember stuff. Our short-term memory begins to suffer. And over time, and with age, as the hippocampus shrinks further, dementia can set in. And the researchers go on to say that further, there may be some reverse causality where other conditions, especially conditions like cognitive impairment, might lead to hypoglycemia. This is true. Hey, if you don't remember when you ate last and you haven't eaten, that can become a vicious circle. And of course, that will lead to hypoglycemia. Selvin says the brain relies on glucose for fuel, so low glucose certainly causes acute problems. How bouts of hypoglycemia might contribute to long-term damage are unclear. Now, I just explained to you a scenario of how it can lead to long-term damage. I gave you one example, but there can be other mechanisms and other pathophysiologies there that have not yet been elucidated. So there is also evidence that poor cognition can impact adherence and treatment and contribute directly to the risk of hypoglycemia. Of course it could. And there you go. To better protect patients who may have experienced hypoglycemia in the past, or to prevent it in those at higher risk for adverse outcomes, Selvin offered several recommendations. Providers should screen for hypoglycemia history. Hypoglycemia should trigger reevaluation of risk factor management in patients. Therapy should be tailored to prevent hypoglycemia in adults with cognitive impairment. Yeah. So having cognitive impairment in itself can lead to hypoglycemia, because the cognitive impaired person, if it's severe enough, if it is dementia, they don't remember when they ate. And maybe they're not even aware of their internal hunger cues or satiety cues. That kind of communication between brain and gut is shortened, is cut down. Certainly dementia contributes to that. And hypoglycemia over time, as I described earlier, can bring on dementia, can bring on at least issues with short-term memory. So for those of you who are concerned, the people most at risk for hypoglycemia are those taking insulin. They have to have tightly controlled blood sugar and insulin administration to make sure they don't ever have an emergency like that. And people who are self-administering insulin pretty much already know that they need to have some glucose tablets in their purse or some juice around or something in the event of an emergency, because that is an emergency. Severe hypoglycemia is. I'm talking about blood sugars in the 30s, people. It feels awful. And if you're not fainting, you're feeling quite awful. Those with severe hypoglycemia have also been known to have seizures, pass out, all of that. Other cases of severe hypoglycemia I've seen that did not include the administration of insulin are those with severe irregular blood sugar patterns. They're eating terribly. They're not having regular meal times. They're eating too many carbohydrates. They're not getting ample amounts of fat or protein. They will also have nutrient deficiencies like B vitamins and magnesium. All of that contributes to the hypoglycemic episode, or how well the body responds to all of that. That's where I've seen that in my 15 some odd years of practice now, 16 some odd years of practice now, with hypoglycemia. So this is something to take into account. And I'm always looking for irregularities in blood sugar in those people who come in complaining of not feeling well, of feeling somewhat dizzy, or having a feeling of unreality or dislocation, or feeling unsteady, or feeling moody, irritable, angry, hangry. Hangry is hunger and anger. That is a hallmark of hypoglycemia. And any other depressive mood disorders, anxiety, all of those things. Issues with weight loss, irregular blood sugar, impaired glucose tolerance, all of the above. This is all important information, part of my intake to assess how they're doing. And the important blood tests are things like a hemoglobin A1C. A glycomark is another blood test that I'm a big fan of because it shows how erratic the blood sugar may be, what exactly the highs and lows are. That's what a glycomark blood test shows us, whereas the hemoglobin A1C blood test is an average of blood sugar over a three-month period. Two very different tests can show two very different results, and both of those need to be scrutinized. It's not just a matter of a fasting blood sugar, but really, a five-hour glucose tolerance test with insulin being measured is the ultimate gold standard. That really tells us, that really gives us a true picture. And we have found over the years during a GTT, some cases of severe hypoglycemia where we had to stop the test and give them some juice. Juice meaning some orange juice, some apple juice, to get them back, to get their blood sugar back up, so they can function again. So we've seen this in our practice. And severe hypoglycemia is something that does need to be screened for in many people, as more and more people are not just becoming diabetic, but more and more doctors, especially more of the newer graduates from medical school, are using insulin more readily than any other drugs for diabetes, which I find a little disturbing, quite honestly, because those are the folks who get in trouble are the ones administering insulin. They have to really tightly control their food intake. So on the lookout for severe hypoglycemia. I want to thank you for joining me for another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.